has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
August 4th edition, Friday edition.
I'm here. But
okay, you made it.
I've made it. Somehow we got disconnected. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite. We've already had a Friday fade. All right. We're 36 minutes into the market, and we've lost almost 150-point gain in the NASDAQ. And we were up 150 on the Dow, but not anymore. The Dow up 76 right now to 35,292. The NASDAQ is now down 18. I'm not sure what happened here in the last 36 minutes. We'll try to track it down. The NASDAQ is down 16 at 13,942. The S&P's up 2 at 4503. The Russell 2000 is basically flat on the day. Crude oil's up 41 cents to 81.96, closing in on $82 per barrel. Gold's up $11 to 1980. The 10-year's down 8 basis points, so that should be good for the markets. We had a weaker-than-expected jobs report, which we'll get to here in a bit. The 10-year's all the way back down to 4.11 after hitting 4.19 yesterday, and we've got Bitcoin down $28 to $29,165. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Barry, I don't know what happened, but we've got a Friday fade. The market opened up pretty strong. Yeah, we had the Dow up like almost 200 points, had the NASDAQ up about 150, and all of a sudden the NASDAQ is down 18 points. Have you seen any news since we started the market this morning?
No, I haven't. I was actually checking non-financial news just in case some event occurred outside of the financial world. But there was job reports, kind of a mixed jobs report. It came in not as hot as expected. At the same time, on the other end of it, unemployment was down. From that standpoint, it's kind of a mixed bag. Nothing, which is probably a big reason why the treasury, 10-year treasury, is down a bit today. But yeah, haven't seen any news. Basically, the market's almost dead flat at the moment as we watch it right now.
Well, I'm going to look at Apple. Okay, seeing that it's 5%. Yeah, Apple's worsened a little. Apple is down 3.3%. It was down about 2.5%. And it is a big weighting in both the NASDAQ and the Dow. Amazon, on the other hand, is skyrocketing. It's up 9.2% today. So, well, we'll dig into this and see what we can find. Now, yesterday, what I noticed, the market stabilized quite a bit. After the big sell-off on Wednesday, I think that the story of the week this week will be the Fitch downgrade of U.S. debt, which seemed a little bit silly, but it is what it is. They did it, and it's the first downgrade since 2012, and it just brings them in line with what S&P did 12 years ago. We had Jamie Dimon call it silly, ridiculous. But it did impact the market on Wednesday. And then Thursday, yesterday, we saw some pretty good stabilization in the market. But we also saw several bad earnings come out yesterday, reports, most notably Qualcomm, Expedia, Etsy, and a few others, Cummins Engine. And then we have a mixed bag again today. I'm going to guess that by the end of the week, which is today, and by the time we get the final numbers here and where we're at year to date or quarter to date on this earnings season, I'm going to guess we might have a little bit lower number expected for this quarter than we did last Friday. We'll see. A lot of it has to do with the weightings of these companies. And Amazon carries a lot of weight, obviously, and it had a very good report. So we'll see. I mean, I'm anxious to sharpen my pencil later this afternoon and see where we're at with earnings expectations for this quarter, this year, 2023, but most importantly, next year, 2024. I also like the bond market is stabilizing today. It went up real fast. I think for the we added market. 25 basis points, right? Real quickly.
Yep, and when you're, you know, usually when you're watching the bond market, it's like watching paint dry. And so when you have a, you know, a big, you know, quick move right in the rates there, and then of course that, you know, pretty significant drop today. I think last time I looked, it was down roughly 8 or so basis points. So
yeah. So, and what caused the big jump? Well, it was the downgrade of debt, which usually makes it more expensive to borrow. But again, you know, it's the market that really determines that, but right. The market, you know, priced that in very, very quickly. And now it's starting to take out that premium, very, very quickly. And I think it helped a lot that, the real jobs report, not the ADP private payrolls came in. It was pretty weak. What was it? 187,000 or something like that?
Yeah,
new jobs.
Came in, yeah, 187,000 versus 200,000 expected, and then they also wrote down the previous. They did have a downward revision from, you know, 209 last month to 185. So in other words, the last 2 months, the actual, you know, jobs growth has slowed, but wage growth was a little. ADP was good on the wage growth side, which is certainly an inflationary number. But in this report, the wage growth came in at 4.4, which is a little hotter than expected. So kind of, you know, a bit of a mixed bag on both. The ADP is really, you know, hasn't really been in line with the non-farms payroll for a while now still.
No. And we've also got Saudi Arabia. It seems like they're going to continue to manipulate the oil market. You know, they're just going to cut if they have to, or remain where they're at if they have to. It seems like they're determined to keep oil around $80 per barrel. And if you get any kind of a spike in demand, you know, you're going to see it up around the mid-80s to high-80s. And, you know, Saudi Arabia seems to be sitting in the driver's seat right now with oil prices, which is also part of the inflation equation overall. Okay, euro area retail sales. I've just seen a lot of bad numbers out of Europe, okay? And usually Europe leads us a little bit. Europe area retail sales down 1.4% in June, okay? Now, the big earnings, okay? Now, I'm going to begin with a loser for us. I don't want people to think that we only talk about, you know, our winners. We have one of the biggest losers in the market today. It's been a big winner this year, however, Fortinet. And I think this is impacting quite a few stocks. Fortinet is a cybersecurity stock. It's probably one of the best. It and Palo Alto Networks.
Yeah, in CrowdStrike,
yeah.
Are those three in there?
Yeah. And Fortinet's down 25% today after weaker than expected earnings and a weaker than expected outlook. And if I look at, let's just take one of these cybersecurity ETFs.
Well, and they actually beat on earnings, but they're it's all about, as you say, it's all, you know, markets forward looking, and they reduced their full year, lowered their full year guidance on a go forward basis. So.
Yeah, so Bug is down 3.3%. Now, this has been one of the hottest areas of the market this year, cybersecurity. Bug, let's see, CYBR, I think, is another one that's in that space. So I don't like these really narrow ETFs myself because, you know, I mean, that can happen from time to time. And I bring this one up, number one, lest our listeners think that we only mention our winners. No, from time to time, you know, there's nothing you can do. You have no control whatsoever over race season. Apple could report a big miss. They could report in line. They could report fantastic earnings. And it's like that with every stock you own. And I will say that the smaller stocks like Fortinet tend to be more volatile when they miss. This has been one of the hottest stocks in the entire market. They can really get whacked. And when we come back, I'm just going to talk about it because all of you out there have had a stock that's missed earnings. What do you do when that happens? Other than get your crying towel out, we'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Okay, what do you do when one of your stocks misses their earnings and is down getting hit hard, okay? Well, number one, it's hard for me to believe, Barry, that the company just lost one-fourth of its value overnight, right?
Right. In nowadays, right, whether it's, you know, algorithmic trading or what have you, stocks move in both directions, right? Kind of overshoot news, tend to overshoot news, particularly in the short run. Good news where we look at a stock the other way around and like, well, you know, not sure if I believe that it's up 12% today, but, you know, it is, right? You can look at it from both directions. But, it's one of those where you got to let the dust settle, you know, dig into it. And certain times, right, you'll ditch a stock because, you know, the story changes, right? It's, you know, there's a reason why. You know, you're in one. Generac comes to mind, you know, a handful of years ago, and they had, you know, 2 or so years ago, and they had a, you know, bad report that came out, and the stock got hammered. But, you know, this when the story changes in the stock, then that's, you know, one reason to get rid of it. But, you know, from an earnings standpoint, right, they actually beat on current earnings. It's just future guidance in this case.
Yeah, their sales were up 26% and their earnings were up 58%, but not good enough. Okay, so the first thing I do when that happens is nothing. And within a few days, I mean, by early next week, I will know how to adjust, probably have enough guidance to know how to adjust my earnings estimates for next year. And I'll have enough to adjust my growth rate, my five-year growth rate. Both of those are very important components of valuing these stocks, and probably see a little bit of shrinkage in the multiple. I'll have a new target price, which I'm sure will be quite a bit lower than the current target price, and then I'll reassess it. And then I also watch to see how it trades. You know, there was one, AMD this past week, they just picked a bad day to report earnings. The next day was down 4 or 5%, and it bounced back the very next day. So I looked too to see. I mean, today is just kind of panic day. I mean, California is just waking up now, right? The West Coast is starting to see this, so there may be some more pressure on it. But you know, you have to let the dust settle. That's the first thing I say: is let the dust settle. And then redo the numbers. That's simple. And then you can make it. I've always said the more data you have, the easier the decision is. And also to see how it trades and see what the analysts say. You may get some huge upgrades next week. We just don't know. Okay, we also have the biggest winner of the day, or one of the biggest winners of the day. Certainly the most high-profile winner, Amazon. We were saying they're expecting 32, 34 cents, something like that, and they came in with 65 cents. They clobbered their earnings estimates, and they beat their sales by $3 billion. Instead of $131 billion, they came in at $134 billion. And if you want to know how good that report was, you look at the stock. How is the stock reacting? Gangbusters. Amazon is up almost 10%. That's not easy for a $1.4 trillion right. company to move it, that thing 10%.
And it makes up 2.5% of the S&P 500. And so 2.5% up almost 10% today. So that's pretty
and
remarkable.
We own that in the premier growth portfolio because it's still one of the premier growth stocks out there. They had a phenomenal earnings report. They gave very good guidance. I'm seeing now earnings estimates of $2.80 for next year, which is a lot higher.
Right. They talked about AI.
Yeah, okay. Like I said, I think they've instructed every CEO to mention AI in the conference call because that expands your multiple, right? That juices that multiple if you mention AI.
Give it some grease,
even,
right?
Yeah. I don't care if you're selling Fruit Loops or if you're selling stuff over the internet or if you're making this or making that. Mention AI, and you'll get a big, nice pop in your multiple. Amazon sets ambitious Q3 forecasts, so obviously they're raising their guidance. That's the best of all worlds. Beating earnings is good, but the market's really interested in what have you done for me lately, but what are you going to do for me in the future? And they said that AI is at the heart of, well, it pretty much is. Look, when you log on to Amazon, it's going to start showing you all of these things. They know you, right? They know when you buy, what you buy, how frequently you buy, items you may be low on, things that are some of your favorite items that are now on sale. In addition to that, you get pop-up ads during the week on different items that might be going on. So I think they're probably one of the leaders in AI. They've been doing it for years. We just didn't call it AI, I guess. And now, we've got a name for it.
We used to call it marketing.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean,
now it's targeting.
They've been doing it forever, right?
Right.
Why, you have to know who you're selling to, the demographics. Before there was the internet, you sold on TV. You're not going to run a beer ad during children's cartoons on Saturday. You run it in a baseball game, right? And you're not going to run a Fruit Loop ad in some big serious show, the news show, right? You have to target. But with the information and the data that we have nowadays, it's incredible how they can fine-tune. It's almost scary. It is scary how they can fine-tune the advertising to you specifically. Okay, now, on the other side of the coin, Apple, which I said yesterday, expect good things from Amazon because we had a good report from Wayfair and Mercado Libre this past week, and I said, don't expect much from Apple. And that's what Apple did. Apple, you know what? Apple is they're – how much did their sales grow this month or this quarter? -1%. They've had three negative quarters in a row. Okay, it may be part of the iPhone cycle. But even four quarters ago, this is a single-digit grower now. Apple, someday people are going to wake up and say, why is this thing $3 trillion? It's not $3 trillion anymore. It's 2.9 today. After today.
And but, still beat on earnings, right?
I know, but their earnings were up 5%.
Right.
5%. Those are IBM-like numbers. I'm just saying it gets a glamour multiple because it's a glamour brand. And someday it's going to lose that glamour multiple. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show on this Friday. Well, the surge has come back into the market. Whatever that hiccup was, a major hiccup, a little power surge, something went through the market and shut down the power for about 10 minutes or so. Now you got the NASDAQ up 77, and you've got the Dow up 159. So we're having a pretty good day in the market, which seems to make sense to me. You've got a big drop in the 10-year, okay, 8 basis points. You had a very weak jobs report come in, which should have the Fed's attention, right, at the next meeting to say, yeah, you know what, maybe we can pause here. We don't need to hike rates again. You had monstrous earnings from Amazon, which probably the second or third biggest report of the entire quarter, and you got Amazon up 10%. And you've got Apple, which doesn't surprise me, and I just want to talk about Apple for a minute here, okay? Here's what I don't want to hear from Apple. We're raising our dividend. That's kind of I talk about cycles that companies go through. You know, they start off, let's just take Apple, for instance. It was an idea. Pretty soon they got some funding to build the product. And then they went around with the product and showed it to investors and got some more money to build more product, to ramp up sales of the product. And then they saw that the product was a hit. And then they decided to go to the public markets and raise money and become a public stock. And then they stumbled around, finally got it right eventually. And grew to what they are today. But Apple was a consistent 20, 30% grower several years ago, all right? Not anymore. It's a single-digit grower.
Well, it's hard slowing to grow down. That base of revenue, right? I mean, it's just a huge amount of revenue already from a base amount, right?
So it becomes a mathematical problem. A lot of the stock market is mathematics, okay? I look at the San Diego Padres this year. They've sold out almost every game, all right? 43, that's all the stadium holds. How are they going to grow their fan base or their attendance next year? It becomes a mathematical. They have to build a bigger stadium. But anyway,
charge more for the seat.
Yeah, or charge more. Apple has been growing and growing and growing. And now just look at it today. No longer are we waiting in line to get the latest iPhone. It's been that way for quite some time, and it's getting worse all the time because there's just a little slight variation in the new one. Like, I think the next one's going to have a wide-angle lens on the camera, something like that. I mean, they've kind of run out of bells and whistles of new products. So anyways, I'm just saying this is not the growth stock. It pays a dividend. We own it in our dividend and growth portfolio and our growth portfolio. But I'm going to rethink the whole thing. I've been telling you for the last several months, this stock has 35% upside potential over the next 3 to 5 years. Maybe I may decide I would rather have something with 80 to 90% upside potential. I think Apple's kind of a parking place, too, where people feel kind of safe. It's also become a safe stock to park money today in today's world. So anyways, I'm just saying Apple is not the Apple that it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It's a big, slow-growing giant that's still innovative and whatnot. But if you're expecting the stock to double over the next few years to $6 trillion, that ain't going to happen. All right, Williams, CEO. Now, he's been very vocal about the U.S. not keeping up at all with the demand for gas. And he's saying it once again. He's seeing that we are way behind the curve. And, of course, this heat wave that we've had it really, really puts pressure on what we have. So, you know, I mean, we don't want to get into a situation where we're having power block because we have plenty of energy. That's not the problem. It's we don't have the infrastructure needed to supply the growing demand. And so anyways, Williams has put out this warning before, but they're getting a little bit louder. He's getting a little bit louder now. Okay, another one we have another big winner in the market today. We mentioned the big loser. We got that out of the way first.
Yeah, but if you're not Apple and if you're not a cybersecurity stock, you're likely in the green today. It's interesting how the market's turned just since we've been doing the show.
And, you know, and there are stocks that are amazing to me that how they have remained on top year after year. I wrote about this stock in 2013 in my book at that time, Best Stocks Now. So, you know, it was one of the great stocks of all time. It's still one of the great stocks of all time. It's hitting a new high today.
All-time high. Yeah.
It's up $250 per share. That's 8.8%. This is another one we own. We only own 20. We try to find the 20 best players to put on the field at any given point in time in the premier growth portfolio. Booking Holdings is one of those stocks. Formerly known as Priceline.com, this is now a $114 billion company. But I think what amazes me even more about this earnings report that they had, listen, their sales were up 27%. Their earnings doubled from last year. This stock is still in its prime, believe it or not. And, you know, what amazes me even more is Expedia, a direct competitor, had a horrible report, was one of the big sell-offs yesterday in the market. And we've seen these cruise ships have a terrible week this week, which I'm sure that's part of their business, Booking. But Booking is up $253 per share. So
we admitted to a forward P of it's odd when you look at a forward P of 20 and you think that seems like a value, but
we've still been buying it because it still has that 75 to 80% upside potential.
Well, and from a peg ratio standpoint, I mean, I think earnings growth this year is supposed to be about 46%, and so you've got a very low peg ratio there.
Yeah, Booking reported earnings of $37.62 per share. That beat by $8.46. That's a massive beat. This is a better report.
That's over a 20% beat.
Yeah, this is a better report than Amazon when it comes right down to it. And their revenue beat by $5.5 billion or $330 million.
Yeah. So, 27% year-over-year revenue growth. That's pretty impressive.
Yes. So anyways, we'll take credit for our loser, and we'll take credit for our two big winners. And with Apple, I'm just going to say I'm not surprised that it was a dud of a report. I'm not surprised at all. Okay, just a few others in the news today. DraftKings is up 7%. A lot of competition in the sports gaming business. We also own Airbnb. It's up 1.3%, which isn't spectacular, but it's okay. And then we've got Redfin, which I think it's down. It was down last time I looked. Redfin is down 22%. We don't own Redfin. But, you know, the problem with Redfin, there's not as many transactions taking place because there's no inventory out there. Fisker, FSKR, I want to say, or is it FSR? I think it's FSR. Fisker down 7%. It's hard to get too excited about Fisker. They've got a huge uphill climb. There's a fertilizer stock, Corteva, that's reported here, CTVA, and it's up 1.5%. Okay, so when we come back in the final segment, well, look, I'm sure that that Fortinet, the big loser, is impacting a lot of the software stocks, especially the cybersecurity stocks. And on the other side, I'm sure that Amazon is lifting a lot of stocks, and I would think that Booking might be lifting a lot of stocks. So all in all, you kind of had a mixed week in earnings. You had some real disappointments yesterday. You've had some huge winners today and also a few disappointments. So we'll see how it all shakes out in this week's newsletter. Get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back.
You gotta know where you wanna go and do what you wanna do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show to end the week. And after today, at the end of the day, I guess we'll be about 70 to 80% of the way through the spring season. I don't have a number for you yet. I have kind of a guess. I can't see a big increase over what we expected last week, nor can I see a big decrease. We'll see which way it tilts later today. We've had a lot of good reports this week, and we've had some bad reports this week. And today is no exception. That's kind of been the tone for the week. The NASDAQ is up 66 right now. The Dow is up 189. Oil's up 81 cents to 82.36. And the 10-year, which went up 10 basis points, you know what caused it to go up, I think, was the ADP report, right? Had something to do with it on the jobs. And then today we get a weak report, and those 10 points came right back out again.
Right, and we've, I mean, it's the ADP report has not been indicative of the non-farm payrolls report for a while. So why it continues to, you know, to have an effect is somewhat puzzling. But
if you get a big ADP report and interest rates shoot way up, buy some bonds, right? Okay, day trade the bond market. Okay, now, as we look here at the Dow, okay, which is up, there's not that much that's down today. It's a good day for the Dow. You've got one stock, and that's Apple, down 3.2%. ExxonMobil is the best performer in the Dow today. The oil stocks continue to be the best sector in the market for the second half of 2023 so far. Exxon's up 1.8, Chevron's up 1.8, and then you got Microsoft having a good day. It's up 1.4, and Goldman Sachs, a financial, is up 1.4.
And Amgen, Amgen up 5.7%.
That's right. Amgen is also up. I forgot. It's in the Dow also. And it, which has been a pretty dull stock over the years, but Amgen up 5.7%.
Yeah, it's been in the news a good bit lately. I don't know if it's just because the earnings were coming up, but it was just, I don't know, it shot up the last few days.
And then in the S&P 500, we have the biggest loser in the S&P 500 today. How about that? Fortinet is down 24.6%. This is a high flyer that's been a huge winner here. We own it in our Ultra Growth portfolio.
And all the cybersecurity stocks are, you know, kind of going down in sympathy.
Yes. I can see, I'm just going to scroll down here and see other stocks here that are probably caught up in all of this. Well, you know, a little bit, not much. This is cybersecurity stocks. Okay, now as we look at the winners in the S&P 500, we also have the biggest winner is actually Fluor, which is a very boring company. They do like infrastructure, bridges, roads and bridges, things like that. Amazon, we have two out of three of the top gainers in the S&P 500 today. Amazon up 10.7. Oh, my gosh. That thing. And that's the high of the day. To move that thing like this is just, it's pretty incredible, really. Amazon is now $143 per share. Its all-time high was $188. It's now a $1.5 trillion company. And the third biggest winner in the S&P 500 is Booking Holdings, the former Priceline. It's up 9.1%, and it's also lifting Expedia a little bit, which got pasted yesterday. People use Booking more than they use Expedia. What can I say? Another one that was down this past week was TripAdvisor. It did not have a good week. Okay, now as we look at the NASDAQ, I'm sure you're going to see something very similar there. The NASDAQ biggest winner, Amazon, 10.7, Booking up 9.2. Then you get down to Amgen, 5.7. AMD having a good day. AMD is up 2.7%. NVIDIA is up 1.2%. And which reminds me, when does NVIDIA, let's just look and see.
I want to say they're reporting next week or the week after. They're always kind of a late report.
Yeah, they're a late report. NVIDIA, which will be probably the last remaining really, really important one, August 23rd, not three more weeks, really. Okay, so now the losers in the NASDAQ got to be pretty much the cybersecurity stocks. Yeah, Checkpoint down 3.4, that's about it. Not a bad day, a pretty good day for the NASDAQ. All right. Well, in this week's newsletter, I will identify our featured stock of the week. Last week's was, or 2 weeks ago, Constellation Energy, which has had a monster week this week. And I can't remember what we featured last week.
Resources. It was another resources company.
EOG.
Yeah.
And, hey, they reported earnings today. And EOG is down 1% today, but it's had a pretty good week. Okay, and then so we'll have our featured stock of the week in the newsletter. I have an update on all of the portfolios for the subscribers and the two-week trial people and for our clients. And then we'll have the macro forecast, which is for also the clients and the subscribers and the two-week trials. I don't think our target price will be like Oppenheimer, who says 4,900 by the end of the year, which is just 4 months out, a little over four months out. They have to use a multiple of 22.5 to get to that number. And we don't think there's any way possible for the it's just, I say the chance is one in a million of the multiple getting that high in the market. It would take something fantastic for that to happen, but that's Oppenheimer, okay? Our target price is a little more rational, a little more sane. We'll see how much upside potential we have in the S&P 500 because it all begins with the macro outlook. To get two free weeks of the newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. To set up an appointment with us to discuss your portfolio. Maybe you own a lot of these duds that got whacked this past week, or slow growth, or no growth, or just, stodgy old growth giants of yesteryear. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.